This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. There is trouble brewing in Jade City. If drug dealers, violent criminals, and corrupt city officials weren't enough, now we have a vicious serial killer on the loose. But fear not, Jade City. Harold M.F. Jones is here. For years, the citizens of Jade City relied on Harold Jones to come to their rescue in time of need. But now, there's talk that our hero is hanging up his green hooded cape and leaving Jade City to fend for itself. So goes the plot of Jade City Chronicles Volume 1, a new stage production currently running at Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham. Now, if you're trying to picture Harold Jones in your mind's eye, do not use Superman or Captain America or other mainstream comic book heroes as your basis. Harold Jones is black. And you'll never catch this soulful superhuman wearing his underwear outside his tights. I'm pleased to welcome playwright Howard Kraft and director Jay Oberski to the program today. Welcome back to both of you. Good to have you here.
Hey, right.
And with us as well, two actors from the production. Mike Wiley plays Harold M.F. Jones. Kashif Powell plays Harold's best friend and right-hand man, Supreme Intellect. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Howard, you were commissioned by Little Green Little Green Pig Theatrical Concern, to come up with the next great black superhero. Now, tell us about the search for this African-American Avenger.
We met at Mad Hatter's, and we were talking about possible ideas, and he had said that, you know, him and Lamar, a good friend, were thinking about doing a play about an African-American superhero, and would I be interested in writing it? And very much interested. I really wanted to do some sci-fi type stuff, and this offered a great opportunity to do that. And I used to be a comic book fanatic as a kid. So this also gave me an excuse to go back and, you know, to the comic book store and spend a lot of time there. So,
now, in a way, this character is self-consciously black. There are lines about how many black superheroes do you know?
Yeah.
To what extent does that draw on themes in black culture, black heroes, and how much of it is overlaid on the arch kind of mainstream superhero theme?
What I think one of the differences, what I wanted to do with Harold Jones is I wanted to in creating this African-American superhero, this black superhero, I didn't want his blackness just to be, all right, here's a superhero, he's just black. You know, I wanted his life experience from being an African-American to play a part in the storyline. And I think that a lot of the black comics historically have not done that. You know, my theory is that when you look at it, the Luke Cages, which is probably the most famous black superhero, they came out of the success of the blaxploitation film. And so it wasn't so much that they wanted diversity, in my opinion, as they saw that this is a great opportunity to make money. And so those characters, they didn't really deal with the cultural aspects. You know, it was just kind of flat, stereotypical slang. You know, a lot of them read just like blaxploitation films. And very few, if any, of the early ones were written by African-American writers. So what I wanted to do is just to make his blackness be a part of his life story, which it is for everyone. You know, everyone's culture is a part of their life story. You can't separate that. And I think that's what we did with Harold Jones.
It's absolutely what you did. One of the marvelous things about the play, saw it last weekend, is that this is a play with a backstory like any other superhero that you get to know. This one happens to be African-American. So it is absolutely mainstream superhero, and this is the culture you need to know about. So it brings everybody in the audience into the show in a way that it was just spectacular and wonderful.
Thanks.
How did you
lot.
Go about creating the character himself?
One of the things that I do as a playwright is I always try to deal with the human being first. And this comes as a result of several plays that I wrote for North Carolina Central dealing with health issues. So, for example, if I was writing a play about cancer, I can't write a play about cancer that is going to keep the audience involved. I have to write about the human being dealing with cancer. So what I did with Harold Jones was I wrote about a working class African-American man who, oh, by the way, he can fly and has superpowers. And I constructed him from that perspective. And what I wanted to also do with Harold Jones is I wanted to make him have vulnerabilities, not, you know, that's not just in weaknesses in a superpower perspective, like, you know, not being bulletproof, but weaknesses as a human being and vulnerabilities as a human being. And, you know, put all that together in a beautiful soup, you know, write 4 or 5 pages of backstory. And then the character evolves.
And you kept his underpants concealed, which will keep Bill Cosby happy. That's good. Jay, this play is actually full of humor. It deals with a lot of very important social issues as well. And there is mixed media. You've got video animation going on as well.
Yeah.
Where did the idea of the animation come from?
I asked Howard to write up a play that was more like a movie because he was worried about the strictures of, you know, do I have to have 3 walls and can they curse and all that. And I said, well, you can have Zeus come down with his chariot if you want and crash through the ceiling. And we can do that. We don't know how right now. And then when he started to write a flying character and that there were these big sort of battle royales between all the villains and the heroes, I immediately thought it would be so cool if they could turn into cartoons. And so we got some animators involved and we got an incredible filmmaker named Alex Manis to shoot the flying scenes and the big battle at the end and to do effects on them. And so it really was in an effort to keep the theatricality of theater, which so often plays now are just a couple people sitting around talking. It might as well be a novel, might as well be a movie. So we really wanted this sense of the unexpected.
It's a lot to keep together because there is caricature by the nature of, you know, you've got comic book heroes. There are characters, there are themes that are serious, and then it's comic. Have you ever had a challenge like this before to keep all that stuff together, allowing the caricature to be what it is without the whole thing devolving into
it? I think every play is like that. I think if you do a play like King Lear, the trap to fall into is saying, oh, it's a tragedy, it's sad, but King Lear is actually hilarious. And A Midsummer Night's Dream is actually really depressing and scary and sexy and bad. And so you're always walking that fine line when you work on any play. This just had the added film component, but we do that in almost any of our plays anyway. So this is actually where we live.
Mike Wiley, you play our hero, Harold M.F. Jones. What was it like for you to embody this character who is part cartoon and very, very real?
I think much like Howard said in the creation of a play, of a character is the same way. Figuring out what in my life mimics Harold Jones' life outside of the supernatural abilities. What is it in my own life that I feel mimic or match the same themes that Harold Jones is going through? That is sort of a midlife-y kind of crisis as far as what he's able to do for the city of Jade. And you know, sometimes I wonder, the solo plays that I do, when am I reaching the correct audiences? Am I reaching the people I'm supposed to be reaching? So it really was a great fit for me.
Kashif, what about you? Tell us a little bit. You play a supreme intellect, Preem for short. He's invested a very close relationship with Harold. Tell us about his character.
I think supreme intellect is a very intriguing character. Unlike, you know, his best friend, Harold, who's definitely grounded in, like, notions of truth and justice, I think Supreme is really invested and really interested in exploring the gray areas between good and evil and good and bad. And so I think it's that tension between him and Harold that kind of fuels not only their relationship but fuels Supreme as well.
Can you do a scene for us, part of a scene?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm tired, man. I've been shot, stabbed, thrown out a window.
Hot, hot grits thrown on you.
Twice. You know my health insurance company tried to drop me.
Man, you should have listened to me years ago when I told you to put this superhero thing on hold and go into the NBA.
Come on, man.
Man, who can stop a man who can jump 50 feet in the air without even thinking about it?
Are you ever going
to
let that go?
No, I'm just saying, if you would have listened to me, right now, we'd be retiring from the league with millions, man.
Come on.
Then we can do this right, like Bruce Wayne, with some real money behind us. Man, right now, we could be bumping in a souped-up Jonesmobile. instead of this old beat down Honda Civic. Man, how many miles you got on this thing anyway?
I put gas in it and it goes. The rest
whatever,
on that, right?
Dog, whatever.
Look, I just want to be able to make a difference. I'm tired of being a bandage. I want to be the cure.
Look, man, unless you can superhero some jobs up in this city, crime going to be what it's going to be. But look, player, don't downplay the importance of the bandage, man. You save a lot of lives from Hollandale to the Falls. Yeah. You give a city something to believe in, and you know what they call a city with nothing to believe in.
What?
Cleveland.
Oh, man, that's jacked up, friend. Come on, man. Cleveland's a good town. You ain't never been to Cleveland,
friend. No, I'm just saying. How they go burn LeBron's jersey like that,
let
son?
That go.
How they go burn
let
the
it,
jersey?
Let it go.
I'm just saying.
You always just saying. Look. I got another letter from the Amazing Americans.
Hey, turn right, man. Don't be yelling at me, man. You was going to miss your turn.
We going to your house.
Nah, we going to Black Classics first. I told you I got to pick up some
somebody's
going to
hit me.
Man, you got superpowers. You would have sensed it if somebody was going to hit you.
I ain't got no spidey sense. Look, what I'm saying is I got another letter from the Amazing Americans. They want me to join.
For real? Oh, buddy, we talking about serious money. No. We talking action figures, no. Video games, corporate
they
sponsorships.
They want me to change
cereal
my
boxes?
Name.
To what?
Captain Diversity.
Oh.
Want me to change my costume, too. Make it orange with a white cape and a captain's hat.
Man, you'd be like a flying black and orange cream popsicle.
Mike Wiley and Kashif Powell as Supreme Intellect and Harold Jones in the Jade City Chronicles, Volume 1, now on stage at Man Bites Dog Theater. Captain Diversity. That would be rough. Howard, talk a little bit about Jade City and the creation of Jade City, and then maybe we'll have time for the villains, but give us an idea of where this place takes place.
Jade City is a mythical city that is... nowhere in urban America, so it can be everywhere in urban America. In my mind's eye, it's like a combination of New York and San Francisco with a dash of Philly and Oakland. It's separated into seven boroughs or neighborhoods, and for the most part, they're kind of racially segregated. It's also a city that's separated by class distinction as well in economics. And, it resembles a lot of what's going on in urban America today with lack of jobs, you know, crime rates out of control, politicians who care more about making money than they do about people.
Yeah. You tell us a bit, too, about the villains in this story.
Villains are always fun to write. I wanted to kind of put some politics to what's going on. And so... Harold Jones is the product of a government experiment gone wrong. And part of what the major villain, Simon Thorne, the head mother, his plan is to finance his clandestine criminal empire by flooding the inner city with drugs, which kind of harkens back to the whole Iran-Contra Oliver North type thing. As a matter of fact, Memphis Snake, his henchman, his real name is Norton Oliver, which is a play on Oliver North, and the head mother cross dresses, which is like a slap at J. Edgar Hoover in a way, and COINTELPRO. And so it's a whole lot of stuff underneath the surface with the villains.
It's great stuff. And also, there's a comic book that you've produced that goes with it.
Really got inspired after writing the play. I got back into comic books again. My wife had to put me on probation. She said, okay, you can only buy so many comic books a week. I'll get a little ridiculous. You know, we got a four-month-old, need diapers. So, the comic book, I teamed up with a really good friend of mine and a fabulous artist by the name of Louis Franco. And I was like, dude, man, we got to turn this joint into a graphic novel because we got to maximize. So, I worked with Lou to actually take the script and turn it into a graphic novel. And what we've done is we've produced the first 32 pages of that graphic novel, and we're selling it as a single comic book and using the profits to finance the completion of the graphic novel. And there are lots of different things in the comic book that aren't actually in the play. So if you come see the play and get the comic book, you get like a two for one. You know, you get to see both worlds.
And this is called Volume 1 of a trilogy. Is it really a trilogy? Will there be a Volume 2 and 3?
There definitely will. I mean, the people are demanding it. And you know, it's like Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. They want their fight to happen. So I'll sit down at some point with Jay and we'll talk about it. He's got lots of things on his schedule. I got some projects coming up too. But we're definitely going to do at least a part two of this thing.
Yeah, and it's up through – how long are you going? How long?
May 28th.
May 28th. And you've got a blog going and
– Yeah. We've gone viral with it. You know, taking it to the next step. You can catch Harold Jones on Facebook at Facebook.com/HaroldMFJones. That's Harold, H-E-R-A-L-D, like Durham Harold. And you can also follow Harold Jones on Twitter. And see what's going on in the city of Jade at Jade City Warrior.
You know, it's great. As I said, I saw this play, and it's one of those things. You talked about the blaxploitation films, trying to avoid that. And so what I was thinking through the whole thing, I said, you know, this is like, I don't have to have that feeling watching a Tyler Perry movie where I'm looking next to me saying, is it okay for me to laugh? That didn't happen. This is actually a play that's about something, and it's hilarious. It's a fantastic play.
Thanks
so
a lot.
You need to do Volumes
that.
2 and 3.
Well, definitely.
Keep it going. Thanks all of you for being on the program.
Thanks very much, Frank.
Jade City Chronicles, Volume 1, written by Howard Kraft. Jay Oberski directs the show, starring Kashif Powell and Mike Wiley as Harold M.F. Jones. Jade City Chronicles can be seen on stage, Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham through May 28th. For more information, visit manbitesdogtheater.org or search for Jade City Chronicles on Facebook. That's our program for today. Thank you for listening. You can find us at stateofthings.org. Check us out on Facebook as well. State of Things is produced by Amber Nimix and Alex Granados. Galvin Wells is our intern. Robin Copley is the technical director. Managing editor is Lindsay Foster Thomas. And Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.